I'm going to pray one more time. Is that okay? And then we'll get into the message. Lord, we praise you, God. I thank you that we have a youth group who loves to worship you. We have a youth group who loves to invite you into this place, God. Lord, may you always be enthroned in our praises, God. And I just thank you, Lord, for more passion for your presence, God. More passion for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I really enjoy worshiping with you guys. Really. Do you guys like the Holy Ghost anthem song? I know you like it, Joaquin. Me and Joaquin have been listening, aren't some of us? Ooh, turn me down a little bit. We've been listening to this song for like the past like 7 years. It's a good one, though. But your dad played it?
Yeah, well, he played with
him. Nice. My father. If you're taking notes, write this down. Man, you didn't give me a chance to say it. On the count of three, say it. One, two, three. One, two, three. Discipline is life. Here's what I want to say to you guys. I have a question first. Is that okay? Can I ask you a question, Nolan? Yeah. Have you ever wished or hoped that you had like this? I'm going to hold off. Who at one point, I'm not saying you still are, but who at one point you were like obsessed with like Rocket League? Yeah? Okay. Okay. I see one hand. Where's this guy? Yeah? Still? Still or once was? Rocket League, right? Fortnite. Who was at one point obsessed? Like, that's all you can think about. You're excited. 3 o'clock, you like ran home because you wanted to play Fortnite or you wanted to. Okay, how about Minecraft? Who was like at one point you're like obsessed with Minecraft? Did I tell you guys my Minecraft story? I never wanted to play Minecraft, like never. But like my siblings started playing it and my cousins who don't play video games started playing it. And I was like, come on, come on. And I had a Nintendo Switch back then. And I was like, all right. So it was like 10 p.m., right? I decided to download Fortnite on my Switch. Minecraft. Guys, I was up until like 4 in the morning, like just trying to figure out what to do. No, I didn't play it again after that. I was like, nope, this is not going to be good for me. I could very easily become obsessed with this, and then I'll have no life. Not saying that if you're obsessed with it, you have no life, but you get what I'm saying. Oh, what's another one? Call of Duty. Who was at one point obsessed with like Call of Duty, right? So when you first bought the game and you had it for like a few days and you were at school and you were like, man, like I can't wait to go home so I can jump online and play multiplayer, right? Like, you didn't have to stir yourself up to run home and play. Like you weren't at school and you're like, man, I know I should play Call of Duty, but I just don't feel like it today. No, you just like, or whatever video game, or replace it with like social media. All right, some of us some of us are obsessed with social media. If you check your Instagram 10 times an hour or a minute, you're probably obsessed with it. Or just your phone in general. Does that make sense? You don't have to stir yourself. It's easy to become obsessed with those things. You don't have to muster up a desire for it. I'll put it this way. It's easier to play Call of Duty for an hour than it is to go to the gym for an hour. It's easier to scroll Instagram for 20 minutes than it is to run 2 miles in 20 minutes. Right? Raise your hand if that. Come on, that's true. Right? Deja, come on, right? It's easier to scroll Instagram for 10 minutes than to run a mile in 10 minutes. It's easier, right? But what's better for you? Probably run the mile, right? Probably going to the gym. Probably better for you. Have you ever wished that you had a desire to read your Bible and you know you don't? You ever had a desire? You're like, man, like I know, I love Jesus. I accepted Jesus. I had an encounter with Jesus up at camp or in Sozo or on a Sunday. And like, I wish like I can go home and be like, yes, I want more of it, but I don't. I just want to go home and eat food and binge something. I know I'm not the only one. And here's what I want to say to you. With the flesh, with the world, you don't have to work hard to desire things that entertain you or that give you pleasure or that kill your boredom. Like, it's not hard. Just buy a video game, sit in front of a TV for 2 hours. It's not hard. Find a new show on Netflix and sit and you know, new season of Stranger Things, and 6 hours later, it's 3 a.m, you're like, wow, that was so good. That's not hard to do. Someone say amen. Amen. That is not hard to do. But fast for 6 hours. Oh my gosh, it's the end of the world. Right? Guys, I'm being real. I'm being real with you guys. And I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking from experience. I've been there. Most of the time, I don't fast on purpose. I accidentally fast. Because I'm just like, because I'm busy. I'm like, okay, you know what? I didn't eat today. I'm fasting. Doesn't count very much, to be honest. I can admit that I can go home and be like, I sit down and read my Bible. Sit down and worship for an hour. Pray in tongues for 2 hours. A lot of people that I look up to. Here's crazy, right? It's something crazy. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is nuts. Turn to your other neighbor and say, but is it worth it? There's these people that I look up to, and they have, actually most of them are dead, but I mean, they lived a good life, all right? And they're from like the 40s and like the 60s and like the 70s. But I look up to them because there's one man, his name was Smith Wigglesworth, and there's like these crazy testimonies about him. Who was I talking to? Smith, was it you guys? You? Just you? Just you? Okay, wow. I'm going to tell everybody now. He would walk onto a train or a bus. He would just walk in there, and people would just start to weep, and they would start to like say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. That's crazy, isn't it? Could you imagine if you just like walked into a classroom, and then someone just started going, are you okay? I'm sorry. It's like, for what? It's like, and then you start telling about Jesus, and they accept Jesus just like that in that moment. That'd be crazy. But it's possible. Discipline. See, to walk in that kind of power takes discipline. We look at the life of Paul in the New Testament. How was he able to heal so many people in crazy ways? How is he able to just get bitten by a venomous snake and then like nothing happens to him? He just shakes it off. How is he able to survive a shipwreck? How is he able to get stoned to death and then still be alive? Here's what Paul writes. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. I'm going to say something to you guys. It's going to hit you a little bit hard, okay? Is that okay? Can you just put your hand on your on someone's shoulder and say, sana, sana. Colita de rana. I don't know why you would say that. That literally says, like, I don't even know what sana literally means. What does it mean, Penny? Huh? Heel? Heel, frog's butt? Don't ask me, ask Penny after, okay? If you have questions, ask Penny. Ask Penny. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Oh, yeah. What I was going to tell you guys. This might hit you guys hard, but it's good. I want to say this is good. When we go to heaven, and I pray we're all going to heaven, but it's up to you. It's up to you. It's not up to me. I'm doing the best I can to get you there. But it's up to you. when you get to heaven, you're not gonna be like, oh man, I wish I would have posted more on Instagram. When you get to heaven and you're walking on streets of gold and there's no sorrow, no heartbreak, just everlasting joy, when you're in that moment, you're not gonna be thinking, oh, I wish I made more money. You're not gonna think that. You're not gonna think, I wish I would have played more video games. I wish I would have dated more people. You're not gonna think any of that. None of that. None of that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man or a woman, grown up, I put away childish things. This is a man who did amazing miracles, who started churches, that started churches, that started churches. This man, Paul, literally had an eternal impact, but we still feel the impact of his life. It's called most of the New Testament. He wrote Romans, he wrote Corinthians, he wrote Thessalonians, he wrote Galatians, he wrote Colossians, he wrote Ephesians. This man that had this crazy revelation from God lived a disciplined life. Look at what he writes here in First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Verse 24 through 27. I want to say this. Discipline really gets a bad reputation. We think of discipline as punishment. And although they're very similar, and although discipline is sometimes punishment when you do something you shouldn't have done, but discipline is very positive because discipline gets you to where you want to go. When you want to have good grades and you want to take AP classes, it takes discipline to write those papers, do those projects. Discipline will not get you the grades you want, right? It takes discipline. Moreover, brethren, this is Paul writing. Sorry, not that one. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. What if I told you, I'm going to give you $1 million right now. I'm going to give $1 million to the first person who gets me tacos from King Taco. $1 million. If I said that, every single one of you guys would like steal your mom's keys, jump in the car, and like steal tacos and come back, right? Because you want $1 million. You would make it happen. Because only one person gets $1 million. First person to bring me tacos. With lime. Green salsa. No onions. Paul says, run in such a way where only one person gets the prize. In other words, if I see Joaquin or JC or Miranda or anybody else, if I see them running faster than me, I should be like, oof. I got to catch up. Because I have to run in such a way where if I'm behind them, I don't get the prize. It's pretty intense, right? It takes some discipline to run faster. So do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus. In other words, Paul's saying, I run this way. Not with uncertainty. In other words, I don't just do what I feel like. I don't just stumble into things. No, every step is on purpose. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight, not as one who beats the air. Can you punch the air? Nothing happens. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. It takes discipline to not only speak about the Lord, but to live like you know what you're talking about. Amen? Write this down. Desire follows discipline. This is how it works in the kingdom of God. Desire follows discipline. In the world, when you fall into the worldly desires, it's actually this. Bondage follows desire. I'm talking about the world. Lust, stealing, lying to make yourself look better. You get into bondage to these things, looking at things you shouldn't be looking at on the internet. In a worldly sense, bondage follows desire. But in the kingdom, desire follows discipline. You know what else follows discipline? Freedom. Freedom follows discipline as well. When I finally got on staff at the church, I was able to buy nice coffee. Before I would just, never mind. I'm not going to say anything. But every single day, this is crazy. Looking back, I'm like, wow, I'm an idiot. Every single day, I'd buy like a vanilla latte or a caramel latte or a caramel frappuccino from Starbucks. Like every single day on my way in, like that was like my drink. As if it was normal, not knowing I was drinking like 25 grams of sugar. Probably more. Every single morning. I don't know if you know this, but that's not good for you. It's really not. But I couldn't just stop. Like I one time I tried Pastor Vegas's black coffee and I'd make fun of her. Every single morning I see her drinking black coffee and I was like, how's your mud? Every single day I would say that to her. But I had to slowly discipline myself to the point where I would stop doing sugar, but I would still do cream. And eventually I would do less cream. I'm like, just give me a little splash. And now I drink mud. Pretty much every single day, 99% of the time, venti iced coffee, black. And you know what? I love it. I desire it every single morning. I desire black coffee. Did I desire it 5 years ago, 6 years ago? No. But to discipline myself to drink black coffee, birth a desire for it. That is how the kingdom of God works. Listen, you're not going to feel like reading the Bible. But when you discipline yourself to do it, you will get to the point where after school, you can't wait to go home and read your Bible. You'll get to the point where you can't wait for after dinner so you can go worship. You can't wait to wake up in the morning so you can pray in tongues. You can't wait for lunchtime so you can read your chapter. When you discipline yourself to do those things, that desire will start to increase. You will begin to have an appetite for it. Amen? Discipline changes your appetite. It changes your cravings. I'm going to say it again. Discipline changes your appetite. It changes your cravings. So here's what I want to say to you. For those of us who have ever said, man, I wish that I had a desire. I wish I wanted to read my Bible every day. Say no to your flesh. Say no to Netflix. And just start doing it. And you're going to start to develop an appetite for it, amen? And you're going to start to believe that God is good. And here's what I mean by that. Here's what I mean by that. Many times in our life, we choose sin over choosing God. And let me tell you the main reason. One of the main reasons why we choose sin rather than choosing God's ways is because we believe that sin is better than God's ways. We think that sinning is worth disobeying God. That's the truth. I'm not trying to bring condemnation tonight. I'm trying to expose Satan in our lives. I'm trying to expose the sin in our lives. Listen, it's the sin in our lives that cause depression. It's the sin in our lives that cause anxiety. It's the sin in our lives that keeps the Lord from being our Prince of Peace. Listen, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Satan is the prince of this world. And when we walk with the Lord, we experience what Galatians says. It's a peace that protects our heart. His peace guards our heart. And that is amazing. Could you imagine getting to a place where you're at perfect peace with yourself, where you like yourself, where you're like, man, I'm doing pretty good. I read my Bible. I worship. I'm not looking at things I shouldn't be looking at. I'm not saying things. I'm not cussing anymore. I'm not cussing out my mom. Please don't cuss out your mom. Right? That'd be a good place to be. Here's what I know. Every single one of us, we want to be good. Every single one of us, we want to live peaceably. But who gets us in trouble? We do. We get ourselves in trouble. And so I want to encourage you guys, let's discipline ourselves. Here. Can we read some more scripture? 1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll start with verse 1. We're going to go all the way to verse 8. Can you guys read 8 verses with me? Is that okay, Nolan? Yeah? I found out Nolan's middle name today. Not telling you. It's not my name. If it's not my name, I can't tell you. You want to tell him? I can say it? His name is Tyler. Nolan Tyler. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. Now the Spirit expressly says, by the way, Paul wrote this too. Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, who was a young pastor, probably struggling. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the word of faith and the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Notice twice Paul talks about doctrine of demons, good doctrine, and deceiving spirits. Let me warn you guys, because this was not an issue like 7, 8, 9 years ago. Like when I first got saved, it was like, we have teachings here and that's it. And like you could kind of find a podcast here and there, but today, like, if your algorithm is Christian, which it better be, then you're getting a lot of people who are speaking into your life, and just because they say they're Christian doesn't mean they're preaching the truth. Just because it's flashy and they say, Jesus said this in the Bible, right? Doesn't mean that what they're saying is true. So let me, as a good youth pastor, say, be very, very careful of what you allow in your heart through social media, because it could ruin your relationship with God. Listen, I knew, they're still alive, I knew interns who were doing very well, and they found things on the internet that tripped them up, and their faith was squashed by that. And Pastor Drew and I did everything we could to speak life into him. And that person's no longer with us because they allowed false doctrine in. Amen? So be very, very, very careful. Honestly, the best thing is just to ignore all of it, because you have no idea. Because it's, once you hear something, it's really hard to unhear it. You can't unhear something. You can't unsee something. You can't. Where were we? But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself towards godliness. Everyone say exercise.
Exercise.
Exercise yourself towards godliness. Church, coming to church and having a relationship with God is not something that you will stumble into. You're not going to be bored one day and be like, oh, I wonder what the Bible says. You're not going to run out of something to watch on Netflix and be like, you know, I'm just going to worship now. Back to the people that I look up to. A couple of them, but one of them said, he talked about how he would spend 6 hours just waiting on the Lord. And then the Lord would come in a crazy, radical way. And what he said was, at the sixth hour when God meets you and your whole life is changed all over again, you don't care what the cost was. You don't care how long you waited. Could you imagine? The Bible talks about this in, I think it's in Psalms. It says, wait on your bed. Sit on your bed and wait for the Lord. Could you imagine if you came to your bed after school and you sat there and you're like, okay, Lord, I'm going to wait here until you do something. I'm going to worship here until you do something. I'm going to read the Bible until you speak to me. I think that looks a lot like faith, right? Yeah. Where you're going to do something just knowing that God's going to show up. And let me tell you, he does show up. He will show up every single time. And what if it costs you? Is he worth it? If it costs you watching Netflix that night, if it costs you playing video games that night, if it costs you a few hours of sleep, the Lord started to put this message on my heart at midnight a few days ago. And it was a day where, like, I knew I had to get up early the next morning, and I had been lacking sleep for a few days already. I was, like, really tired. It was, like, 11:30 at night. I was, like, I'm ready for, Candace is already asleep. And I was finishing up a couple of things. So, like, cool, like, I got to go to sleep. Oh, it was Saturday night. I have to be up at 6 so I can be here at 7. And it was 11:30, and I was, like, I can't go to bed without reading my Bible. I can't go to bed without spending time with him. As a matter of fact, it's what Paul had said earlier, right? He said, I can't be disqualified in my preaching. I can't be hypocritical. I can't speak about him and then not be with him. Amen? And you know what? And it was, I don't know what, whatever time it was by the time I took notes and was just receiving the message. At the end of that, I wasn't like, man, I wish I would have slept for 30 minutes or 40 minutes instead. No, it's not even a thought. You discipline your body. You can make it. So going to bed without reading your Bible is uncomfortable. Like, you're scared to go to bed. Or you're scared to leave the house without praying first. That is a good discipline. Amen? So what does he say? He says, but reject profane old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily... I'll put it this way. Who cannot leave the house without showering? I hope everybody raises their hand. I cannot leave the house without showering. It is like, I just it's not in me. It's not in me. For some people, you can't go to sleep without showering, right? That's you? Yeah, okay. So you shower at least once a day. It's good to know. It's right? So some of us, like, we can't, like, it's ingrained in us. We're like, I cannot. Like, for me, like, I hate eating if I know I have to do something. Like, I'd rather, like, not eat for 3 hours so I can, like, eat in peace. But if I have to, like, eat quickly and then I know, like, after I have to, like, go up in the attic or something, like, I'm like, I'd just rather not eat. I'd rather work first and then eat later. Does that make sense? This discipline in pursuing God, it will create this uncomfortableness of you can't like in some way that you can't leave the house without showering, or you can't go to sleep without showering, or I'll put it more simpler, okay? Who can't eat without washing their hands first? Like, that's how uncomfortable it should be. We're like, I cannot live life unless I spent time with him, amen? Yeah. That is a good discipline. Here we go, verse 8. For bodily exercise profits a little. Ooh. But godliness is profitable for all things. Everyone say all things. We're going to be done in a couple of minutes, okay? All things. Come on, say all things. No matter what you're going through, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the issue is, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the hurt, what the pain is, you know what? You know what will benefit that situation? Some godliness. That's what his word says, and God is not a liar. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Amen? Let me tell you, church, in the same way that it takes some discipline to refrain from worldly things, it takes discipline. When you apply that discipline in the positive, to read your Bible, to worship, to come to church, to pray, it will bring life to any area in your life that you feel is dying, whether it's your health, whether it's your mind, whether it's your heart. I'm telling you, whatever part it is that says, it's not worth spending time with God right now, that part needs to die. One last scripture, okay, and then we're done. We're going to read this twice, once in the New King James and then the second time in the NLT. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, this is in the New King James. Then Jesus said to his disciple, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to you, church? What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will reward each. Finish it for me. Read the Bible, church. Let's read it in the NLT. If you don't have that version, just read it on the screen. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? And here's what I want to focus on for a moment. Is anything worth more than your soul? Think about it. Is anything worth more than your soul? Lying, substances, things on the internet you shouldn't be watching, are those worth? First of all, there's consequences, right? And I'm not saying like physical consequences. I'm just saying like your conscience bugs you. You feel dirty. You feel bad. You just feel wrong. That's just one part of it. But more importantly, I don't know if you guys know this, but sin separates you from God. Sin separates you from God. It's a good way to look at it. When you're about to do something you shouldn't, just say, is this worth furthering myself from the Lord? Amen? Is it making sense to everybody? Wow, you guys are quiet. I'm just praying that inside it's like sizzling in a good way. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. The answer is to spend time with God. And help us, Lord, to get out of the way. Help us to say no to our desires so we can develop and create a new desire for you, Lord. My prayer, Lord, is that you would create in us a clean, clean heart. One that would desire you to seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.